people who do not have disabilities tend to notice the accommodations made for people living with them, things like curb cuts and crosswalks that count down time to the red light. But take your imagination further and try to imagine how you would do your job with a disability, especially if that disability were blindness. We'll spend some time this hour exploring what it's like to navigate life without sight, and we'll talk about the provisions we make for people who can't see. Two guests join us. Bill Hahey joins us once again. We had him on the First Friday Art segment a while back because he is a musician who lives in Ashland and a member of DUDE, Disabled United for Direct Empowerment. Bill, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Yeah, thank you.
Very good to have you here. And on the phone from upstate, we have Jane Hagel, who's a vocational counselor for the Oregon Commission for the Blind. Jane, welcome to you.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good to have you both here.
And Bill.
Right. Bill, let's start with you. What is talk about DUDE a bit and Disabled United for Direct Empowerment.
We're an advocacy group, and we like to find people who need services that we know of in the area and can provide. And also we do benefits and allow people with disabilities to show what they can do with their art, and there's a lot of that. We got a lot of support from everywhere around this valley and further. Mostly advocacy, but we don't mind getting our hands in it and doing whatever we can. We're available and want to be a part of some to give back, you know.
And Jane, would you give us a thumbnail sketch of what the Oregon Commission for the Blind does and is responsible for?
Yes, we have multiple programs. We've got employment programs, which is vocational rehabilitation that I'm a part of, independent living programs, and a career center based in Portland. I'm based out of Medford. And those programs help people to people who are legally blind, and that may encompass what we call low vision, people who are a minimum of 2200, but still have great difficulty navigating. That encompasses all of those Oregonians.
Hey, Bill, give us an idea of what it's like to try to navigate. You live in Ashland, correct? And I do see you on the streets from time to time. How easy or not is it to navigate the streets of a place like Ashland or any other city in Oregon? Or any other place in the country, I suppose, given what the disability is that you travel with.
Any place is really navigable, is that a good word? As long as you can learn and know your surroundings, get some help, and I've had a lot of good support around here. Ashland can be tricky, but I've found that I've done okay. I've been lots of different places, and so Ashland doesn't present much of a challenge at this point. There are a few things that I would change if I had more of a voice, maybe. But
what kinds of things? Let's talk about that then.
Oh, there are obstacles and loose dogs and things like that that prohibit our travel, because if we have dogs, they're subject to those loose dogs. If we have canes and there are tables out in the walkways or trees in the centers where wheelchairs can't go by on the sidewalks, and there's a whole bunch of things that if it were a little more leeway, I think it would make it a lot more comfortable.
Over time, Bill, would you say that services for people without sight have improved? Have they stayed the same? Have they slid backwards even?
Oh, they're so vastly improved. And I'm so blessed, you know, I'm just one person, but, you know, I just, every day I just go, well, all the things I can do and all the things that I can know and all the people who support me and, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, you know, I'm really so blessed. And I know that if we give the powers that be a chance, they'll give us what they can give us. And so I'm an advocate for it, yeah.
Let's talk, Jane, about the vocational counseling that you're involved with and and some of the obstacles that exist for people trying to do jobs without sight and what kinds of provisions are often made.
Well, Jeff, the biggest obstacle is what other people think, what sighted people think. People often assume that someone who's lost their sight has lost any of their skills, and it's not malicious at all. It's simply ignorance, but we need to reach out to employers. and talk about the gifts that these people can bring, because they're everybody on the planet comes with unique gifts, and that's the same whether you're sighted or you have a visual impairment. So it's really easy to adapt with technology and equipment. It's easy to do that piece to help someone with a screen reader, perhaps, if they're going to use a computer in their employment setting. That's an easy purchase. And there are some scripts that need to be written maybe to integrate with an employer's software, but relatively easy. And once people find out what someone can do, it's revolutionary.
Does the screen reader translate what's on the screen to Braille?
It translates to speech.
To speech, okay.
Yes, to speech. And the KNFB reader, which is something that's come out in 2014, it's an application for iPhones, which the iPhone alone is revolutionary because of all the apps that can be used by people with visual impairment. But you can have a pedestrian GPS tell you you're approaching this street, it's 30 feet to your left, or on both sides. The KNFB reader allows you to go into a restaurant and read the receipt and calculate your tip. Well, you have to calculate your tip with your mind, but that's easy once you know what's on the receipt. And there are some amazing technology, but it's reaching people. It's allowing people to recognize, you know, the gifts of each unique being in front of them.
We're talking about services for sightless people in Oregon with Jane Hagel, who's a vocational counselor for the Oregon Commission for the Blind, and Bill Hahey is a musician and a member of Disabled United for Direct Empowerment. He himself is sightless. You can join us here on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Is musician your primary occupation, Bill? Do you do something else, too?
I play music mostly, and I like to record music. I've tuned pianos. I've worked on cars and houses and all kinds of things just to, you know, turn a dollar. But yeah, music is it. That's my first love and my what I've applied myself to over 30 years in Oregon here.
Your knowledge of this stuff is impressive. When Bill came into the studio, he felt the microphone and he said, "Sennheiser, huh?" I said, "Yes."
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he actually knew exactly what kind of microphone it was. You're really into the equipment, aren't you, Bill?
I am. One of the first mics I ever used was a Sennheiser in probably 1976 or something like that, a studio in Philadelphia. And back in Freeman Studios here in Ashland, he uses them, and I like them, too. So, yeah, I was like, hey, that's an old friend. You
know? Are there other things you might have been doing if there had been greater allowances or accommodations made for your lack of sight at other jobs you might have done over the years, if some of the gadgets that existed today had existed before?
I probably doubt that, because I was really musically inclined at a really early age. I was like, I don't know, 4 years old. I was spinning records on a little Victrola thing, you know. And my aunts and all the people around me were always influencing me towards music. They went, boy, you got it. Yeah, there's something there, you know. You ought to play this. You ought to do that, you know. So I was always into music, yeah.
Jane, over the years, has Oregon improved a lot of the services that it provides for people who don't have sight? And is that anything beyond what was required anyway by the Americans with Disabilities Act?
So I can't give you I've been associated with the agency for just about 2 years, and I come from a vocational rehabilitation background, but with this agency only for a couple of years. So my knowledge is limited, but I did attend a conference, and they gave a historical perspective. And I would say it's just getting better, better and better. And the technology really helps. Yes, it really helps. But the acceptance of what people are able to do, people's abilities, is something that everybody in this agency, I'm so impressed. Everybody has the mission spirit that believes that people can do.
Bill, you're about to say something?
I was going to say belief. They believe in us, and that makes it even more possible that the doors open then with the belief, you know, and she said it, so she's right on. She knows.
I was looking at other agencies and other organizations that are involved with trying to secure services for people without sight, and the American Council for the Blind made a reference to not liking a generic approach to the needs of the disabled community because they felt they fall short of helping people with blindness. I mean, what do you think about the way that we approach disabilities, whether it is too generic or whether, in fact, we're taking care of the needs of people with blindness, Bill?
Each one has their own needs, and we have to meet those needs because, we should want to meet those needs because, you know, they're integral parts of society, and if we do, then, yeah, that's we're just giving ourselves more opportunities as a society. And blindness is one thing, deafness is another thing, and we each have our own needs, and we all shout and holler and want them met, you know, and without that, nobody knows. They, you know, we're the silent minority, maybe, at some point. But people are speaking up, and people are wanting and getting, and you know, you have to allow them, people to, you have to hear them, you have to listen, you have to, you know, get right down there with them and figure it out.
Bill Hahey and Jane Hagel, our guests on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about living with blindness in Oregon. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. What is the largest unmet need, you would say, right now? I'll put that to Bill first and then to Jane as well.
Well, I don't know if I'm qualified to answer that.
I mean, what are the things that you wish were there that don't exist at this point?
Gee, I don't know. I'm really getting every opportunity I could possibly want to do what I want to do. I got so much support. If I ever figure it out, I will speak about it. But I really don't know. I mean, you know, of course there's something. If I thought about it long and hard enough, mm-hmm. I could come up with. But, you know, why worry about that? Why not be thankful for what we have and make new roads to get what we need? You know, that's where I come from with that.
Jane, where do things point for the Oregon Commission for the Blind, particularly in vocational services? What are the things that are on a wish list that you're moving toward?
The wish list is to employ more people. That's the unemployment for the visually impaired community is way higher than it is for people who are sighted, for example. And you said something about what do we do as far as individualized. We have individualized plans for employment, so we address the unique being in front of us individually and what will be the best thing for them. But I say we need to employ more of those unique beings. Employ more people who are visually impaired so it matches up with the unemployment or employment rate of people who are not visually impaired.
How much do you find that as you approach employers about the modifications or additional equipment or software they'd have to get, that they are surprised at how easy it is?
I just went this week to an employer visit and with a client, and she demonstrated for him what she could do, and he was just amazed. He was sitting back with his arms folded, and I could tell his brows were furrowed, and he wasn't sure. But then as she demonstrated what she could do, and she kept listing, oh, I can do this, oh, I could do that, here's how I'd do it. And she used her iPhone. She showed with the KNFB reader what she could read. She described how she compensates for learning to travel within the office and without a sighted guide, and that's someone who offers their elbow or shoulder to take the person through. But she learns by memory the route, and so travels without her cane in the office, and that's been very, very impressive to him. And he learned of the possibilities instead of what isn't possible. It was an educational session.
We have a call here from Greg in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about navigating Oregon if you're blind with Bill Hahey and Jane Hagel.
Yes, good morning. I just wanted to say that I had a friend I've lost contact with after all these years, and met him back in the 1980s. And he was just totally amazing to me, he was like superhuman. He used to snow ski, water ski, windsurf with the help of a sighted guide. And he started his own computer business in the basement of his home in the dark. And he was just totally superhuman to me. And that's all I wanted to say.
All right. Thanks for that, Greg.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Superhuman. Bill, how does that strike you?
Oh, that's, I like that. It could be any number of guys. It could be Michael. It could be, you know, anybody. But I know there is a lot of talent out there that is available. And I've gotten a lot of help from the blind community around here. That without them, boy, I'd be floundering, you know. And I mean, so they know their stuff and they take the time to learn it and bring it out and show it off. And so, yeah, boy, I like the tenacity of the superhuman. Boy, it's early in the morning.
It is. Jane, I noticed some material at the Oregon Commission for the Blind website about a fingerprint expert with sight issues, which you mentioned that that it could be, you know, it starts from legally blind all the way to complete blindness. So there are lots of different levels, apparently, to think about, too, when people are thinking about employing sightless people.
Well, I could list a couple of a listing of jobs. For example, we've got people, a lot of people who learn the technology and then become consultants or trainers in that technology. I've got a master's in social work, so she's a social worker working at AVA. There are people who, of course, people who do the full range of jobs, from working in food service to janitorial to those kind of things. But we have lots of professionals. There's a financial planner in the Eugene area who has been with the commission on and off for about 28 years now. And what happens is he requires a different piece of technology, and we will reopen his case to help him with that. But he does global financial planning, and he's really good at it because his mind is exceptional in that way. And that's, when I was talking about gifts, that's what I was really speaking to, is what is the gift inside the mind, or the, you know, the mind and the heart and the fingers, like as is with Bill. You know, what are the gifts that people bring, and we can replicate just about any job for them. We can facilitate them to any job.
And you mentioned, I was going to ask you this anyway, but you hinted at it already, but in this age of smartphones and apps and all that stuff, there's lots of stuff out there apparently that can really help people without too much expense, if any.
Yes, exactly. The KNFB reader is, you know, about $100, which is, it might seem a lot for your normal $6.99 app or the ones that are free, but it is well worth it, and you can ask anyone who uses it what they think of it. Most of the other apps are less expensive, but that doesn't mean that they don't have the same amount of value. You know, the ability to walk, perhaps with a guide dog or with a cane, the ability to walk anywhere and find where you're going is tremendous.
So if people are considering, you know, I never thought about this before, I would like to hire somebody who has low vision, they should just contact the Oregon Commission for the Blind?
Yes, they need. We go through an eligibility process, but it's fairly straightforward, and that's what they should do. Yes.
And Bill, you're one of those people who can actually take your job with you. You brought the guitar here today. I assume you'd like to use that.
Oh, I do use some of that, and I like to play keyboards, and I'm a trombone player at heart, and a singer and songwriter. But yeah, the guitar is one of my really fun vehicles.
We got about 3.5 minutes to a break. You want to play something to take us out?
I could do that. And thanks, Jane.
Thank you, Jane, for being here from the Oregon Commission for the Blind.
Here's
Bill Hahey.
Know thy worth and love ye all. It's a brand new day. Take the time and lend a hand. Help is on its way. Open eyes and ears to see and hear the things we say. All the strife and tumult isn't worth the price we pay. Find the things you love the most and then give some away. Never fear to be the host, kindness is repaid. We are brethren in this land. What more there to say? Men and women, boys and girls, learning every day. Know thy worth and love ye all. It's a brand new day.
Bill Hahey on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about his work and the work of the Oregon Commission for the Blind. Bill, do you play regular gigs? Do you have places you play regularly?
Yeah, I've been out at the Bella for like 32 years. I'm going to be there in February, and I'm going to be there in April. They're the middle weekend in February and the 23rd and 24th of April.
That's the Bell Union in Jacksonville?
In Jacksonville, mm-hmm. Right. Great food and great service. Mm-hmm.
So just to sum up the whole conversation here about services for the blind, I mean, you're feeling pretty good about what you have available to you in Oregon?
Yeah, I do. And I think it's, like I said, it's the people around you that open the doors, that believe that you have something to offer, that are going to give you the opportunity or create an opportunity for you. And yeah, I do. I think I encourage people to get involved and give them the permission to make the decision, you know, to help them, because, you know, you can do it if you got a little push here and there. And I've needed one or two, you know, in my life. But I'm getting there. I'm really happy and blessed, and I, you know, give thanks.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you back here on the Jefferson Exchange once
Thanks
again.
Thanks so much for
you
having
bet.
Me.
This is Bill Hahey, who's a musician and a member of DUD, Disabled United for Direct Empowerment, here on the Jefferson Exchange. I want to thank Jane Hagel as well, a vocational counselor for the Oregon Commission for the Blind, who joined us earlier from her office in Medford.